Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. They have arrived. After 40 years of wandering through the desert, the Israelites, led by Moses, finally arrived. They had survived on eating manna from heaven and drinking water from the rock, living in tents that barely sheltered them from the elements. After 40 long years, they stood overlooking the vast land ahead, gleaming with hope and possibility, finally arriving at the place they will soon call home. All that stood between the people of God and their promised land was the Jordan River. But excited as they were, this was also a bittersweet moment. Their leader, Moses, could not enter into the promised land. So this would be goodbye. Moses gathered the people with excitement for them, but deep down, there was likely sadness for himself. All eyes were fixed on him. There was silence, pregnant with anticipation. What would he say, and how would he send them off? So with a lump in his throat, he began his farewell speech. You stand assembled today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the leaders of your tribes, your elders and your officials, all the men of Israel, your children, your women, and the aliens who are in your camp. These were Moses' words in Deuteronomy chapter 29, which preceded our reading for this morning. This was his last opportunity to impress upon them what was truly important. Choose life, Moses said, so that you and your descendants may live by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. Choose life, not just live your life and have your life unfold. Choose life through the decisions that you make, loving God willingly, seeking what God wants for you, following God's intentions for you. And God will bless you in your land, and you will flourish and multiply. I think Moses knew that following God, loving others, honoring relationships wouldn't be easy. After all, he had seen it all firsthand. The Israelites bickering in the desert. There was jealousy and strife. And when following God even became a chore, they built and worshiped the golden calf. Choosing life sounds good, and we all want to do that. But it is hard to do. It is the harder choice because choosing what is fully alive for you and for others requires making difficult decisions. Whether it's doing what's right before God, making sacrifices, taking the high road, serving others, or advocating for those in need. It is work, and following God often can feel costly. 20 years ago, a mentor recommended a book to me. A must read, he said. I had not heard of the author then, Scott Peck, but was drawn to the title, The Road Less Traveled, as it reminded me of the poem by Robert Frost. I thought it would be a nice, inspiring read, a walk in the park. But when I turned to page one, the first sentence surprised me. Life is difficult. Oh boy. Peck wrote that life is difficult because we are human and we live in a world with problems and with pain. And when we do what we naturally want to do with problems and pain, which is to avoid them and pretend that they don't exist, when we choose to avoid working through difficult situations, we actually miss out on experiencing life more deeply. And we miss out on truly living and feeling alive. Have you ever distanced yourself from someone you love because it was hard to bring up how this person had hurt you? And rather than talking things through, we choose to stew in our anger. And then we feel detached and feel less alive because we miss that vibrancy that was once there. But have you ever worked hard at something? Resolving a conflict or going outside of your comfort zone, perhaps speaking out against injustice, and then found yourself feeling deeply satisfied and fully alive? We know that once we overcome our discomfort, it is well worth it. But choosing life takes work. Confronting someone we love who hurt us. Listening deeply when our instinct is to defend ourselves. Sacrificing what we want on behalf for the sake of someone we love, or recognizing our own shortcomings, or finding a way not just to focus on ourselves, but to empower life in others. None of this is easy. And I think Moses knew just that, and just how hard it is. So he implored the people of God to choose life in his final words. These past few weeks, our readings and our sermons have focused on choosing life. Two Sundays ago, Hank talked about the basics of our faith as he preached on the Beatitudes and on the words of the prophet Micah, to choose life for ourselves and for others as we do what God asked for us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Last Sunday, Paula spoke about being God's light and practicing love, seeking first to understand when there is divisiveness, choosing life by being loving to each other. These are not easy things to do, but one thing she said particularly struck me. God always calls us to more. Jesus in today's gospel calls us to more as he challenged and reinterpreted the Jewish teachings as he continued with the Sermon on the Mount. He challenged his followers to an even deeper understanding of living and of treating each other. Not committing murder. That's a good start. But let us also choose life by not lashing out with insult or character assassination in our anger. Let us not kill each other in our hearts. If there is a conflict that needs resolving or a misunderstanding that needs clarifying, let us go and work it out. This is why every Sunday in our worship service, we spend time in confession to recognize our own wrongdoing. And then what do we do we greet each other with the peace of God as a symbol of reconciliation before we come to the table for communion. In reconciling, in working things out, we choose life. Not committing adultery is a good start, but let us also choose life by not treating another person as an object of our lust. Let us honor and respect each other for all that they are and not devalue them in our fantasies. In honoring one another, we choose life. Honoring our relationships is a good start, but let us also do all we can to protect the covenant of marriage by doing what we can to support committed relationships. And let us mourn with those who experience broken relationships. And together, we experience life deeply. Not having to take oaths is a good start. But let us build trust through our everyday words, letting our yes be yes and our no be no. Let our words be trusting and life-giving. God always calls us to more and more. In his farewell speech, Moses said, "Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." But there's more. This promise also points to God's promise to Abraham in Genesis, that if they chose life and followed God, they would not only live and multiply and be blessed with their land, they will also be a blessing to the nations. Choosing life means also choosing to be a light to the nations, as Paula preached last week. At our annual meeting, I shared a quote by William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury, from around the 1900s, that the church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of the non-members. Now, while I don't believe that the church has a monopoly on seeking the well-being of others, I do believe that we, the body of Christ, live not just for ourselves, but we also do what we can to live for those beyond these walls. Life is difficult, but let us choose life to live more deeply for ourselves and especially for others. May God grant us strength and courage to follow God's intentions for us, to live more deeply into our relationships, to boldly serve those who are in need, and to choose life. Amen.